Hello, Grape. How are you, sir?
I'm happy to be here. Got a little cold, can't get rid of. But
yes, sir.
I'd like to know about the rink. Tell us about the rink. How you? That is fantastic.
Nice
tell
rink,
us how you get it started, and you keep it. You say till March, so tell us.
March is rare, but we have kept it as deep into the season as March. This year we did we did the same size last year, 50 by 30.
Right, because
kids are getting a little bit older now. Brody is 6 and TJ turns 8 in June. So they're getting a little bit bigger. I did a tiny little one when they were first real young, just with 2x4s and a tarp, and that's it.
So how do you put the ice in?
That's just there's a company out of Wisconsin that I buy the brackets and the boards from. And these are they just come up to your knees. We're going to have to get bigger boards next year. The kids can sizzle the puck now. It takes about 4 or 5 hours, and then there's just a tarp that goes on it. And the tarp gets weighed down, and then I just hose it every night until it's a certain my ice.
A little bit every night.
Every night, I'll finish up work, and first thing I'll do, I'll get home and I'll bundle up and I'll get out there with the hose. And then once it's cold enough, you get the ice. And I got a rink rake from Dave Gagne's company out in Oakville, and I'll just drag the rink rake every night, shovel it. The key is to get the snow off right away, get the leaves off, and anything on there. And then I'll scrape it with the steel shovel and then rink rake it every night. So the kids wake up in the morning and, Don, it is glass.
Yeah. Grapes, I'm a little smarter than Jeff. I back up onto a park.
Oh, all right.
And it's taken care of
by the
city.
That is unbelievable.
Night at 11 o'clock, someone comes by and waters it.
This is what's great about our rink. Our rink is a sneaky babysitter because the kids come home from school. My wife and I can do whatever we need to do in the house and clean up and get ready for work and all that. And the kids just play in the backyard for hours.
You got to force them to come in, eh?
You know what? It's so true. I mean, you got to force them to come in for dinner. As the minute dinner's over, Don, boom, they're right back out in the backyard one more time. And they want to keep playing and keep until they're exhausted, come in for a little last snack, and then they're up to bed. And they hit the pillow, and they are
out cold.
Oh,
where did you skate when you were young?
I was in Ottawa. So I lived in a little place right near a park, and we'd walk over and play there right after school. We would take our stuff and actually put it into the little place to get warm and we'd come there right after school, and then you'd miss call for dinner about 3 or 4 times. And when we were talking off air, once the lights went out, it was time to go home and try to squeeze in the 4.5 minutes of homework tell them that's all that you had.
That's why you only played hockey, eh? No, but that's very interesting. They showed right after, I don't know whether you saw it or not, they showed all the guys that had small rinks like Gretzky and
they
showed them all. And you got to skate. And it's hard now. Because, like you say, before it used to be till March, April.
Yeah.
Oh.
And now
it's local pond, local rink at the local parks. Where I grew up in the west end of Toronto, so I played at High Park, the outdoor arena there, and Swansea as well. Like I played there my whole life, and I just remember being on the ice like almost into spring.
Yeah, well, I did Rideau Public School in Kingston, and we the firemen used to come. They had a hydrant right there, and they'd do it at night. And,
yep.
Like you, it was like the city, but the firemen used to do it. It was just great.
See, I live in Stouffville, and they do that on the tennis courts now. The fire department comes out.
Oh, that's good idea.
They'll do it on the tennis courts, and it's fantastic because there's only two rinks that we have. There's two pads at Stouffville Arena, two pads at Keith Acton's rink, the Clippers Arena. So there's only the four pads, but outdoors there's all kinds of pads popping up now.
I think Mississauga has more arenas.
I believe it. Oh, I believe it.
In the world.
Oh.
You can't drive 10 minutes unless you get an arena. That's why Hazel did that. Hazel McCallion.
Oh, Hazel McCallion? Well, she's great.
She did the Hershey Arena, and she said she did it for my ice stock. She didn't do it for my ice stock. She did it for a women's hockey tournament. But she's the one that pushed it all.
Well, what about you growing up playing hockey? You must have played a fair amount of hockey outdoors, Don.
We did. We went to Rideau Public School, and one of the times, something hit my mind. I got the worst strapping of my life. From the arena.
From playing rink.
Well, what happened was a guy named, a good friend of mine, Les Allman and Ed Birchall, we used to get up every morning and we used to shovel it off, and nobody would help us. The whole school, we used to do it every, so I complained, and I was putting the lines in for the, and they were, you know how the banks went high?
Yeah.
And some girls were there, some guys were there, and I'm putting the lines in, they kept saying, big red paint of length. Look, you're getting a crookie. Good. I remember the girls had white parkas on, and I just took a whole paintbrush all over.
Oh,
their white parkas and the whole thing. Boy, did I get strapped. And anyhow, I said, is it straight now? Anyhow, that was, well, they'd have arenas, they'd have games and the whole deal, Rito Public School. I don't know if they still have it or not, but every school had an arena that, or a rink that went in Kingston.
Interesting, you know, because I went to high school at Humberside in the west end of the city, right by Ravina Gardens, and they would put a rink there. I'm not sure if they do anymore, but that was sort of rather historic with the old Toronto Maple Leafs and Toronto arenas back in the day. But no, I grew up, you know, playing Grenadier Pond, playing in High Park.
That's the best part.
I grew up playing outdoors. That was me.
One of my favorite things is when I look out at night before I go to bed, I always look out just before the lights are about to go down, and I love seeing the jerseys on the kids, all the new, you know, you see the new ones. You see the car, obviously Ottawa, it's Carlson, a lot of Matthews.
A lot of 34 out there,
even in Ottawa.
You know, back in the 90s, I dropped the puck for the Marlies, and they had about 35 young kids, and they were all, you know, and not one of them had a Leaf sweater on. It's sweater. I call them sweaters. And you know why? We should call them sweaters, because that's Canadian sweaters.
Yeah.
Jersey is America.
Just like dressing room, locker room.
You ever seen a locker? You never seen a
dressing
locker.
Never
so why
do
you call them
there.
Locker? You know why Americans call them locker?
Yeah.
But the worst of all, and I hate to say it, Canadian, what really hurts is when I hear dangling. And when I played, and it was...
Deke.
Dangle. It's skate fast. And I'll tell you a story. John Muckler came into the studio and with McLean, and he used to say dangle. And I said, John, what does dangle mean? He said, what are you, nuts? Skate fast. You can really dangle. And I said, well... So I looked at McLean. You know how it got started?
Oh.
I'll tell you how it got started. I hear all our dumbheads say it. The Americans had a commercial, and they had two Europeans running through the bank. Do you remember this? And he was hitting the puck like that. And they had a guard. Yeah, they had a guard watching him. He said, so it was made in the States. He said, look at those guys dangle. You see what I mean?
And we took it.
And we, as Canadians, love to do anything the Americans do. We picked up dressing room. It was always dressing room, never locker room. You know the old sweater. The sweater. Remember the story of the sweater?
Of course, the hockey sweater.
Yeah, it was a sweater. Yeah.
It wasn't a hockey jersey.
Yeah.
It was hockey sweater. We picked up everything the Americans. Locker room, dressing room, dangle. The only thing they haven't figured out yet, what we do, is when the guys holler wheel. Well, a wheel's a wheel.
Yeah.
What does that mean, wheel? But they haven't figured that one out yet, and they'll figure that. As we know, wheel is the only time you say wheel is a goaltender says it to the defenseman.
Yeah,
you don't have to look.
Go. You got ice.
You don't
go.
Have to look.
Yeah, go.
But now I hear they're saying it with center ice and everything. So that's my little Canadian rant for today.
Well, you know what? Another wonderful Canadian thing. We saw this in Guelph, Ontario last week. Certainly, you were there. You're the mainstay in all this. I got to host it for the fourth or fifth time that I've done this now in Guelph. Sleeman Center, Guelph, Ontario, home of the Guelph Storm, was the CHL-NHL Top Prospects game. And you highlighted a couple of kids on Coach's Corner. And Ty DeLandria Flint, I thought, was outstanding, had the pair of goals.
Aiden Duda.
What a great story. So it's Tuesday before the game. He's sitting in math class, and he gets the phone call or the text, hey, can you make it to Guelph? We need you as an emergency replacement. He's ranked, I want to say, like 140th, Maddie, somewhere in there.
Good small player.
Gets talent. In there, and he was, well, Don, you were there. How fantastic was Aiden Dudas?
Well, he'll get drafted now.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. I mean, he made that drag, toe drag. Good kid, too.
He is. I don't really know. Do you know him at all, Maddie, from your time in Kitchener?
He was a first rounder to Owen Sound. Yeah, he was a late first rounder, small kid, just undersized, but he's got skill. He can move. He can skate. It's funny you bring up the top prospects because I go to Scotiabank and watch the young kids. We all enjoy watching young kids, and I don't know who gets a bigger joy out of Scotiabank Place watching the young kids, either the kids watching grapes there or him watching the young kids when he's there, because half the people are tuned in to watching their kids and then half are tuned in to watching grapes watch the game.
You know what's funny? I go there and I had Akil Thomas on there.
Yeah.
It was funny. I get pictures taken with all the kids, and he showed me. And I said, give me that, send it over, and I'll put it on. So they get a big kick out of it. I go with my son. My son, Tim, he always ranks the kids. Eh?
Yeah. Yep.
So I go all the time. I haven't been going lately because I got a cold. But I got to watch. It gets a little rough when I get there. You know, the kids, I'll tell you funny.
They want to put on a show when you get there? Was Akil Thomas like that when he was with the Marlboros?
No, I remember. I went to Merkley. This
Ryan Merkley, Gulf Storm, yeah.
I went to him and I said, I'm expecting great things of you. Like, I, you know, just kidding. And I said, I remember when you kicked Thomas's feet out from him. He said, why don't you ask him? He's right over there.
Now, was that Marlboro's junior Canadians? Is that what you're?
Yeah.
That would have been then?
He kicked his feet out from him.
Amazing. The stories are fantastic. But listen, that was a good game. Like, I'm always impressed at how the skill, like, every time that I say, well, you know what? Those are, you know, the draft eligibles, and this year's the 2000s and a handful of 99s. And I say, you know what? That's fantastic. I can't see 17-year-olds playing better than that. And then I come back the next year.
It's
smaller now. Yeah.
Yes.
About when McKinnon, you know, in Halifax, they were giants. And I see the kids now, they're a little more deaky divey. But back in McKinnon's time, he didn't play very good. He was in Halifax.
Yep, remember that one.
He didn't play very good.
Kirby Reichel, I think, had one with Hartman. Yeah. I think there were a couple of fights in that one.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Bissonnette, I think his name was.
Oh, and Dion Phaneuf.
And Phaneuf.
And Kitchener.
That was the best fight. It was such a great fight. The referee never blew the whistle, and we went in and scored. He wasn't going to count it. And I was going on the ice. That was the greatest team of all. I mean, we had we really doing good the first goaltender. Then we had this little skinny guy going in. I thought, geez, he's going to get. It was Fleury, Jean-Marc Fleury. And that team was unbelievable. We had Brown, we had Phaneuf, we had Fleury, Stewart. Go down the list. That was the best team I've ever coached there.
That was the Kitchener game, right?
Yeah, that was the Kitchener. We won that game. The kids like it when Bobby comes in and gets the pitcher, take it with them. Like, yeah.
What do the kids think of Eric this time around?
I don't know. I didn't make $100. I always paid the $100, but I didn't.
Didn't make the bet?
Well, I can. Eric, he didn't know anything about it.
But, you know, it is nice. And maybe it was the Hall of Fame that sort of tipped things off, and we saw Eric Lindros's 88 go to the rafters at the Wells Fargo in Philadelphia. It is real nice to see Eric Lindros.
He looked good, too.
He did. It's good to see Lindros back in the mix of hockey.
He was out of it for a while there.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. But.
He was my roommate, even at the end. He was my roommate in New York for 2.5 years, and then he was my roommate for a year in Dallas. He's a great guy. I honestly think he's at peace now with who he is away from the game. I think there was so much pressure, and so many things happened, not only hockey-wise, but family-wise, and so many things about Eric Lindros, the hockey player. I think he's happy to be done. And be Eric Lindros the personality.
You think he had a hard time coming? I mean, he had such a controversial career. I mean, everywhere he went.
I think he got off the bad wrong foot.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, Gretzky went to Sioux.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that Sioux's not Quebec and everything. He just refused to go right away. You think, eh? You know, Gretzky goes to Sioux, and he goes that he just got off on the wrong foot with everybody.
Yeah.
And then he was so great. For 5 years, best hockey player in the world.
He was. I mean, you can talk about this a lot more than I can, Don. I mean, you saw the man play. But previous to Lindros, you know, when I think of big centermen that could move their feet, I mean, I think of Jean Béliveau. Like, when Béliveau came in, he was, you know, a big guy that could really skate. And say, wow. But then Lindros came in.
I saw him play junior, him and his brother. That was his problem. He was so big, he bull guy. And all of a sudden, he got against guys like Scott Stevens.
even by the end, I mean, Jason Doig was catching him for big ones as well. So, well, I mean, the Stevens hit was...
Well, that little Russian, Kasparaitis.
I was in Pittsburgh with Kasparaitis when he hit him the one time. But I played against Eric when he was young, when he was in Pee Wee, and he was a bull in a china shop.
Yeah.
He'd skate, but he'd have his head down because he didn't need to keep his head up.
That's right.
When I played against Eric, Eric was probably 12 years old, 6'1", 175 pounds. I was like 80 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah.
And I would just bounce off him. But
he got his head down.
As much as you said, Scott Stevens is coming to hit you. He's Eric's size. Like, he's going to lay the damage. And that was
one of the
ultimate
greatest
demise.
Stories I've ever. I used to be able to sit up. And when we were in the States, I used to be able to sit up. And I used to like to watch the warm-up. And I was sitting way up on high in that game. And his wife, I think it's Diane. Is that his wife's name? Diane, I think.
I don't know.
It's Diane, anyhow. And she's sitting on, and I said to her, what in the world are you sitting way up here for? She had seats right down on the glass. She says, I don't want to sit near the glass. I said, well, I'll come. She says, I drove in and with Scott, and I saw his eyes. And she says, I just don't want to sit near him. I don't want to sit down and see what he's going to do. That's what she said to
me.
Really? Before the game. Holy. And you know, if you look at him being hit, his head hits the ice. His head really hit the ice. It wasn't a helmet. The helmet flipped up. Yeah. And it would come down to here, and his head literally hit the ice there. It wasn't the helmet. And I had an awful fight with my Mississauga Ice Dogs, and they wanted to give us the same helmet. I went and see David Branch, had a big fight with him, and with the guy at the North. He says, well, Eric Lindros wears one. Yeah. I said, I rest my case. And but that was it. I said before that series started, he should not be playing. Should not be playing. He still got a concussion, and he scored a goal, and he just missed the winner. He hit a post. He would have won the game, and had the paper made fun of me, you know. And I says, "Well, and this is what McLean said. The only way you can be proven right if he grabs the puck down the left side and cuts along the blue line, and Scott Stevens hits him."
Sure enough. Well, how about when you played, Don? Because, I mean, now, you know, the nature of treating these things is so much more sophisticated. We can recognize concussions a lot more when they happen. How many, if any, do you figure you had when you played? Because you played a rough style of game.
My first year, a guy named Pierre Palat, I mean, hit me, and he was playing for Bobby. I woke up, and I'm taking tape. I wouldn't let on. It was hurt back in those days. You try.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting up taking tape off my stick. The guys. But you know what? We never, and Matthew will tell you the same thing, we never, ever faced the boards. We always had our head on a swivel. If you got hit, it was very rarely. You always, Messier said it best, heads on a swivel, get near the boards. Now the guys it looks like they're asking for it because they get the helmet, the visors, and looks like they're asking for it. And that's why they get hurt. And I haven't seen a hit so far like that Stevens hit so far, but well, it's a few hits. But I think... I don't know.
Yeah. I'm curious, Matt, how you trained your son, because I've got two kids that play hockey. You know, they're young, and contact is still, you know, years away for them. But my wife and I have always been consistent on this. When we're teaching our kids about playing hockey, whenever you're on the ice, this is how we're going to teach them. In every scenario, expect to be hit.
Yeah.
Expect to be hit, prepare yourself that way. And if you get hit, you're ready for it. And if you don't, that's great.
How do you think Marner and all those Brown and all those little guys, how they survived Dougie Gilmore? They were getting hit all the time. They spin.
But prepare to be. Is that how you taught your son?
It is. And Don used the word head on a swivel. I think that's in all zones. It's not only the offensive zone, because you get hit more in the offensive zone usually because you have the puck, correct? But my son played last night. He plays Tier 2 junior. He's going to play NCAA next year. But even in the defensive zone, there's always blind sides, even like it's a big hit. But guys are trying to run interference, so anytime you can have awareness, self-awareness all over the ice, and don't put yourself in a vulnerable position.
That's it. That's the key.
If you're coming across the middle of the ice, you have to come across the middle of the ice at some points, especially if you're a talented offensive player. You're going to have pucks where you have to bring it to the middle of the ice. That's where you create most of the plays. If you can get the puck to the middle of the ice, you're going to open up scoring chances. So it's just you have to be aware. You have to. I got hit once in 15 years hard.
Bye.
Jeff Bookaboom.
Oof. Yeah. Oh. He could hit.
And I wanted at that moment to die.
Yeah.
I got back to the bench.
This when he was with the Rangers?
He was with the Rangers, yeah. And it was as clean as could be.
Okay, I'll bet you I had the same thing when I got knocked out. You had a taste of metal in your mouth.
Really?
You taste metal. Like I don't know anything about it, but you taste metal. And I don't know how metal tastes, but that's like you've got a piece of metal in your
It's almost like you have a cold. Almost like you have a cold. And for me, my sternum was hit so hard. I remember getting back to the bench. I said, never, ever. First of all, I will know when I'm on the ice with him. I will know when I'm on the ice with Scott Stevens. I will know when I'm on.
There it is.
You always know who you're on. As soon as you have to know who you're playing against.
That's what Brett Hull says.
You know, and if you don't, you're not preparing yourself for the game. So knowing who you're playing against is first and foremost.
Know who's on the ice.
Or you're setting yourself up for failure.
I bet you were hit up when he was around after that.
Never once again.
Well, he's a big guy, too.
Oh, I literally wanted to die at that moment. That's as bad as I've ever been hit.
That's a bad feeling. Anything grabbing your attention around the game tonight, Don, from what you've seen?
Well, I feel so sorry or Winnipeg losing that game. I can't.
Oh, the Vegas game.
Yeah, and I was watching that game. I did not see him break the stick. I'm watching, and I see the stick, and I see what happened. And I know Bukaboom would have killed him if he had a known he hit him. His goal, and I don't think anybody, and the referee was blocked out. I'll tell you what bothers me. Two things really bother me.
Yep.
Is the icing. I saw icing tonight that wasted 2 minutes. In Europe, and I hate to say it, but in Europe, if you're near the puck, when you go to ice the puck,
wave it off.
Here, these guys can hardly wait. I showed that went and face off, and 2 minutes, and then he gets there, and then he throws the guy out. 2.5 minutes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The guys just throw the puck up. You cannot, and they literally lift their stick, and don't. That guy tonight just lifted his stick up out of the way. That's going to cost. I predict that's going to. And the linesman, I don't understand it. I just don't. I think they like to be in the game. That's the only thing I can think of. Mm. That bothers me. And get thrown out of the faceoff. That linesman bothered me more than anybody.
You know. I don't think I've ever had this conversation with you or floated this idea your way, but I know you've been on this one for a long time about officials and dropping the puck. Go back to, you know, whether it's City, Nova Scotia, those rules, McGill rules, turn of the century. Bobby Clark's rules, which are throw the rule book out and just play, boys. The original way the faceoffs were done in hockey at the turn of the last century was the puck started on the ice. So the sticks had to be lined up. There was no drop. Right now, so much of this is about the drop and then the anticipation and sticks in the right place.
And you kind of give it the...
Yeah, right? The original face-off in hockey, the puck started on the ice. The official was away from the two players. The two players came in, they put their sticks in position. They couldn't cheat because the puck's already there. There's no anticipation. The referee would either blow a whistle, ring a bell, whatever, indicate the play is on, and then they made the move for the puck. Now, I know we like the drop,
but who,
and it's part of hockey.
But who
it's so,
complained? Who complained about the face-off? Wasn't the players, wasn't the coaches, wasn't the general managers.
I remember over the past couple of seasons, there have been a lot of centermen that have complained that there's too much cheating with the feet. And if you look in the last couple of seasons before they change the standard now for how you do the face-off.
Well, Kirk Muller used to do that.
Of course. And you know what? I remember Crosby would complain, you know, privately and publicly about it. You watch, and Crosby was so good. I mean, he just eventually figured out a way around it.
Well,
many guys on the draw, they would just snap their hips and block out, and they would cheat it with their feet.
Well, who cares? I never heard anybody complaining about it with Crosby once in a while, but I mean, I never heard anybody going wacko over it.
Yeah.
If that guy did it to Crosby, Crosby should learn to do with it. What's the difference?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more concerned about goalie interference than the damn faceoffs. I was going to ask you, like,
nobody
in
knows.
In this day and age, we shouldn't be having this problem. Agree? Yeah. Like, it shouldn't be this tough.
I think this is headed towards the way of the double IHF standard, which is you can't go anywhere near a blue paint. And if you do, it's either a penalty or a whistle.
I think
this is where this is headed.
I remember Timmy Taylor, I think, with Boston.
Yep.
And he had his toe in the crease, and it was overtime goal in Boston when it went on to the next, and they discontinued it. Now, I'm in Buffalo. I'm watching, you know, and I watch Hull, and I'm the only guy that caught it.
The foot in the crease.
Yeah, and putting the foot in the crease. And I tell him, he's got his foot in the crease. What happened there is Hasek skated out fast. The whole team went to the dressing room. Like, if he hadn't gone bananas, they would have done. But he was that far in the crease. He was standing in the crease. And I said, his foot was in the crease. Now, the only reason I watched was because Taylor, Bruins are out.
Yeah.
So his foot was in the crease. No, and they remember Hasek skating off.
Oh, see you later.
Off, right, gone.
Well, Lindy Ruff lost his mind in the dressing room and came back out.
Yeah, but listen.
And Gary shushed him.
You know why? He went in the dressing room and he saw me on the television. Like,
yeah.
Because they didn't say anything right off the bat. Nobody said he went on. He come in and saw me after. I said, I'll show him in the crease.
So you showed Lindy the foot in the crease, and that's why he went back out.
That's why Lindy. Nobody else went back out because they went off so fast. But if Lindy had been Hasek had been smart, he would have. Anyways, you know, they would have done something. But the whole team. The other guy shoved them all on. Here's a cup, and you're going to call it back. And Lindy went in, and he saw me, and McLean argued with me. I said, I'm telling you, his foot was in the crease. The only reason I knew, because I was watching it, because of Taylor. And he's to this day, he says, no goal. I mean, to this day.
Everyone in Buffalo wishes that was overturned. Yeah. That's
that would have been.
No kidding. Know,
the trouble was Hasek skating off so fast.
Yeah, should have stayed out there to raise. Oh,
you know, raised a little shit. Yeah, he knew he was in the crease, but he was laying down, and they would have done something there because his foot was right. Oh, yeah. Foot inside. Hall never let on.
It's funny too because the past couple of seasons he's done things like made T-shirts celebrating it just to troll Buffalo Sabres fans, and he carved it into his pumpkin
and then he
one
the
year.
Yeah, in the World Tournament. Remember? Shot from the point. It's too high.
Buffalo fans.
Always a pleasure. Before we let you go, have to ask you, the jacket tonight and the tie.
Isn't that something? This doesn't look much off television, but on television
it pops. It pops
funny,
big.
Funny thing, you get some jackets, you think there's going to be dynamite. Nothing. Then you went, oh, it's not bad. It's the lighting. The lighting guy is a genius over there, believe me. And Andrew, and he learned from Tony. I hope he's listening. And there's no lighting in the world. I sit like McLean and I kind of go over it. I sit there for 5 minutes while he adjusts the lights.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I just don't go in and sit down. I couldn't look that beautiful, you know.
Hey, did I ever tell you the time that he upset me?
I know.
He called me a diver on national TV, and it like crushed me, but he was right. But he was right. The worst was I had to act upset, and I was upset.
And everything. I got to go down and be mad at you. Are you going to give me shit for shit?
It was killing me. I was like, I watched him every night since I've been a kid, and he's calling me a diver. I go, but he's right. I can't be saying that. Now I'm not going to draw any more penalties.
Yeah. But I remember, and I thought, holy shit, I got to go down. I remember that. You were really mad.
It was great.
Good to meet you, Matthew.
Nice to see you.
Awesome. Don, as always, thank you so much for stopping by and the praise for the rink. That's much appreciated. The kids are going to wonder how come it wasn't them on the hockey open.
Yeah.
But I'll deal with that over breakfast tomorrow. So always a pleasure. We'll talk to you in 7 days.
Thanks very much.